This is going to be a complicated shiur, I think. I just hope I'll get through it in a way that people can understand what I'm saying, because really, these parshiyos are very, very difficult parshiyos. Let's start with a question. I think maybe I raised it in earlier years also, but it's really a problem. It is a problem, I think. And that is the point at which the parshiyos, I don't mean our parshiyos, the stumas and psuchas, I mean the sedras, we call them, right? So how they are divided. I mean, what is the logic over here in Parshas Bullock that the whole Indian of the Znus, of the B'nai Smayov and the B'nai Midian, whatever it was, yeah, this whole story comes still in the Parsha of Bullock. And then next week, Pinchas, Ben Elozov, Ben Aaron, Akoin, Hei Shivas, Chamosi. I mean, why do you split those two things? I would have thought that once Bilam goes home, so now that Sedra is finished, and let's stop the Sedra here. And then you tell the story of how the Yidden were Mizanim, and what happened as a result, and what happened with Pinchas. It seems to be an illogical place, so it seems to me, it seems to be an illogical place to split the Sedras. And the Sedra division is Shenyev, the Torah Dikah division. The chapters are right. We know that there were Goyish HaHamtzor. Let's not get into that. Now, Baruch Hashem, there's a new Chumash out that just came out, which has gotten rid of the chapters. It's a whole big parsha, but that's not Min Yoneinu. But Min Yoneinu is, why split this business? And the Znus and all the horrors in Parshas Bullock still, and then the reward of Pinchas in Parshas Pinchas. Now, I don't know, maybe there are terutzim on this kashya among the Mefoshim. I don't really know. Let me tell you what I think. I don't think there's anything wrong with what I'm saying, but maybe there are other explanations also. But it seems to me that it's almost a joke. You listen to Bilam's brachas, lo hibet oven bi Yaakov, v'lo roa omol bi Yisrael, Hashem elakov imo usruas melech boi. Zog Rashi, what does it mean, lo hibet oven bi Yaakov? Dova acha, acharei pshuta hu nidrash, medrash noe. Lo hibet HaKadosh Baruch Hu oven shebi Yaakov. Kashahein Oivrin al Dvorov, Eino Medaktik Achareim, even if they're Oiver on the Rebbein Shem's mitzvahs, he's not really Medaktik after them. Lehisboinen Be'oinias Shalohem, to think through the Averas which they have been doing. Uva Amolon, it's also an Averas, Shahein Oivrin al Dosai. Okay, it doesn't really check, it doesn't, why? Yeah? Hashem Elokov Emoi, Afilu Mach Isin, Mamrim Lefonov, Eino Zoz Metarchon. Usruas melech boi, loshan chibo v'reyos, k'moi reya dovet, I'm not sure whether I'm reading that correctly, oyev dovet, v'yitno l'mareihu, mireihu, I'm not sure, I'm sorry, I apologize, v'chein tegum unkles, u'shchinas malkahon b'nehon. So that sounds very, very good. It's a real friendly relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlalom and Klal Yisrael, and therefore even when they do terrible averus, the Rebbeinu Shlom is still with them, he still loves them, he's the Reya, it's Amachaya. And that is what Bilam said. Yeah, and then you turn the pages of your Chumash, and the Benois Midian and the Benois Moyav, whatever the story is, 24,000 people die. But you are Mason Vamegev for 24,000 people. I mean, what is going on? I mean, he was Hibit Oven B'Yakov. He was Hibit Oven B'Yakov. He saw this terrible, terrible averus which the Yidden did, that they were Mizani with his women, and Nebuchadnezzar were 24,000 deaths. I mean, what is going on? Like within, I think that maybe, Ahud, well, this is pure conjecture, so please don't accept it as a given. But in terms of conjecture, I think that maybe the reason why the ones who were Masada, that the Esedra should end where it ends, that means that you have the Averas of the Znus still in Bullock, and only the reward of Pinchas in the next week's Pasha, it could be that these Mesaknim wanted us to be hit by the by the full impossibility of what's going on over here. Yeah, there you have Bilam saying, "Lahibidoven beYakov laRoam or Israel, Sruas Melech Boy." Through the worst times, Ribbono Shel always remains their friend. Sruas Melech Boy. And what is going on? It's really very, very, very strange. Really strange, I think. So what is Taka the answer? So I think that it's a big like this week, it's happening to me, and I can't even understand it. It looks like Emissa Hashgacha. Who knows? Yeah, but I'm writing just now. I'm trying to write a book on Sefer Shemos to understand, like, what the Tochen is of Sefer Shemos. You know, all the Sforim have their own story to tell. That's why they're divided into Sforim. So I'm trying to learn about Shemos. And I've just now been learning the Pasha, where Yosef, after Yaakov and his sons, the families, come into Mitzrayim. So Yosef takes first the sons to meet Pharaoh, and then he brings in Yaakov to meet Pharaoh. We all know the story. So I always had this problem with the Yaakov part of the story. What happens? He goes in, and he vayivorech. Rashi says it's not a brocha, but just saying hello in the way in which normally it should be done with the king. So he greets the melech, and then the melech has a big kasha. Kama shene yimei chayecha. Yeah. So. So the what's his name, Kaplan, in the Living Torah, translates "Kamos Shnei Yemei Chayecha" as "How old are you?" That's his translation. Now, so he's not translating it literally. Evidently, he's taking it as an idiom, and idioms are not supposed to be translated literally. And so he says, "What does it mean? What are the days of the years of your life?" What does it mean, the days of the years of your life? What is it supposed to mean? So he said, seems to think that that's an idiom which people use to say, "How old are you?" And what does Yaakov answer? Vayomer Yaakov el Paro, Shnei Yemei Shnei Megurai Shloshim Vashana, the days of the years of my sojourning. He changes the lotion. Paro asked, Yemei Shnei Chayecha, and he calls them Yemei Shnei Megurai. Now, Megurai is a temporary staying. We know that from the Haggadah. Vayogar Sham, yeah, Melamed Shelay Boru Yisrael Lemetzrayim, Lishkakeh Sham, Elo Logar Sham, Geirus. Yeah, so he says, these are not Yemei Chayai. These are the Yemei Megurai. So I'll tell you what I think that it means. And the emphasis, whole passion, needs a lot of analysis, but that's not, I don't want to get into that, because then we're not going to be talking about Bullock altogether, which I don't want. We're in the Pasha of Bullock now. But what's going on over here? What is Pharaoh asking? And what is Yaakov answering? And why is he switching the lotion? That Yaakov said, Kamosh Nei Chaye Chayecha, I'm a Yemei Shnei Chayecha, and he says Yemei Shnei Megurai. So I think that you have the whole Yesod over here. I mean, Yitzchak Hashem to Ravonshan gives me koyach, and I'll try and write this book. I'm still at the beginning of it. My feeling is, I never understood this story of Yaakov coming into Paro and having this conversation. I mean, what's it not gayer to anybody? It sounds like two old people schmoozing together. Tell me, how old are you? Yeah, you look pretty old, Rashi says, yeah. And Yaakov says, yeah, well, you know, I've had a tough life. I mean, what does this have to do with the Torah? I mean, what's it not gayer? And so wonderful sefer, and I have to apologize to the Mechaber. I don't know, I just forget his name all the time. He's the, those of you who are old, Ne'er Yisrael Talmidim, remember Daniel Shliach Tzibber, he's the father-in-law of Daniel, who, by the way, has a kollel today in New Jersey. It's a machaya to hear about and to think about it. Anyway, so he wrote a sefer, Mateho Elokim, And I happened to come across that sefer, and I opened it up. Wham! It starts off on Perek Aleph. How does it start? An analysis of the confrontation between Farao and Yaakov. Like, I mean, Mama just fell into my lap. I'm trying to think about that. And here, a sefer, which I hadn't seen in 30 years, suddenly opens up exactly on that sugya. It's Mamash Magadik. Now, what I finally worked out is not exactly what he says, but I just wanted to point that out, that there was some big Siyata Deshmaya over here, it seems to me. But Bekitzer, I think that certainly Rav Shamshon Feuerhirsch does not take it as an idiom. Shnei Yemei Chayecha is not an idiom. Every word is meant. How many are the days of the years of your life? That's how Farao said. Now, what does it mean, the days of the years of your life? So Rav Shamshon Feuerhirsch explains that most people don't live with days. A day you can waste. Yankel is making chasna in Los Angeles. Oh, I'll go. I take 3 days to get there and 3 days to come back. Okay, but he's a friend and you got to go to the chasna. Yeah, in other words, we are not terribly careful about our days. Years is something else. But so Farao asked him, Kamo shnei yemei chayecha, that on the, how many days are there in the years of your life? That you had X number of years, that I know, right? That's fine. But how many of those days did you salvage? That's the question. We'll soon see what the avira of that question is. But that's what he asked. Yeah? So what does Yaakov answer? That Shnei Yemei Megurai are 130 years. But he didn't ask you about the years. He asked you about the days. What's going on? I think that the pshat is over here like this. Now, this is not anything I've seen in one of the Mefarshim, so please only accept it if you feel that it's correct. But it seems to me that the Loshen of the Pasha fits very, very well into the way that I understood it. I think, see what the Mate Elohim, what the Sefer says is that the meeting between Yaakov and Farao was like the entire intelligentsia of Mitzrayim were like, they just stood there gaping. What's going to happen? Yeah, this is Farao, the greatest materialist in the world, meeting Yaakov, the greatest spiritualist in the world. What is going to happen there? What is this confrontation going to yield? That is really what's going on over here. This was in other words, my maskana, the way I'm thinking, again, I can't say that I saw it anywhere, but I'm telling you what I think that the Pasha is saying, is that Farao is not sort of just asking how old you are, like Rashi said, the Mefoshim on the Daf, in the Mikros Gedoilos, don't seem to, I don't know exactly why they don't go deeper into what's happening. But I think what's happening is like this, that Paro is challenging Yaakov. That Paro is challenging Yaakov. And Paro is saying, look, how many days have you left? What's he saying? He's saying, look at me. Yeah, you're standing in front of me. I'm sitting on a golden throne with a golden scepter and a golden palace, and I'm the big boss of the whole world. Yeah, you can see that I lived my life seriously. I worked hard to get where I am, and this is where I am, and I'm in a very, very wonderful situation. That is what Farao is saying. What do you have to show for your life? Here you are. Yeah, okay, so I'm treating you with a lot of respect, but you are Sof Kol Sof, you're putting out your hand and saying, please help, I'd like to live over here. I'm hungry in Canaan, and over here I think I'll be able because I've got protection with myself. Yeah, you're begging. Like, didn't you do something with your life? I mean, can you look back on your life? I see that you lived many years. Yeah, but can you look back on your life and say, I used my days well? Kamosh yemei shnei chayecha. Have you got something to show for your life? And what was Yaakov's answer? Yaakov's answer was, yemei shnei megurai shloshim ma'as shana. The days of my sojourning were 130 years. What are you talking about, 130 years? Right? He's asking you about the days. So Behechach, what he's asking is, you know how many days I have to count? As many days as it fills 130 years. Every single day of my life has been worthwhile. Every single day of my life has been worthwhile. You're asking me how many days can I count? Maybe I don't know, 10, 20 days. You did something useful, because it doesn't look to me as though you did very much useful. You got a bunch of sheep. That's it. But no home, no food, no nothing. You're in a very bad matzav. So Yaakov said, I got something to tell you. Yeah, every day counted. Every single day counted. Don't kid yourself. But they were Yimei Megurai, not Yimei Chaye. You know where my Chayim takes place? My Chayim takes place in the Olam HaSoel Yainim. I made a deal with Esav when we were still in the womb. I take Olam Habo, you take Olam Hazeh, and Esav was masking. I have no Olam Hazeh. So whatever happened down here is not my Chayai. My Chayai is up in Shemaim, whatever that means, and that is where I am, and there are my days recorded. Down here, I have to tell you that it wasn't a lot of fun. I've had a lot of tzoros, but then I expect them, because I don't belong down here. I'm really like no visa, and I'm just here, and I'm throwing myself on your kindness. And you're quite right that I'm a mendicant. I'm asking for tzedakah, ki'ilu, right? But don't think that touches me up. I think that's what's going on over there. It's very, very important. I think that this story of the confrontation between Paro and Yaakov is the hakdomer to Sefer Shemos. We understand what Golus Mitzrayim is, what Geulas Mitzrayim is. It's a meiradike pasha. Sorry that we can't go on over here like this, but I want to get back to the Bollock story. So what did I ask? I asked, yeah, what do you mean, Lohibid Oven bi Yaakov, Loiro Omal bi Yisrael? What do you mean by that? Of course, I saw an Oven bi Yaakov and an Omal bi Yisrael. Two pages later, you got 24,000 people dying because they were mezane with the Goyim. Like, what's going on? So, and I asked, and why Tucker put that in the Bollock Sedra? Let Bollock happen on a, I mean, finish off on a nice note, that everything was brochas and so on and so forth. We all know the fact is that the Gemara says that later on all the brochas turned back into klolos because of the averus which the Yidden did. So what do you mean, lehibit oven b'yakov l'orom b'Israel? What do you mean? Right? Okay, the matoy v'oylecha Yaakov did not change back, but these are all different aspects of the same story, really. So, but we can't do everything in a short share like this. But so what is Taka happening? So I think that what is happening is this, and it all fits in. It all fits in very well. That it's true that Lahibid Oven be Yaakov, Lahiro Amal be Israel. Yeah. So what are 24,000 people doing, dying? The answer is that's not the Yaakov and the Israel. The real Yaakov and Israel is up in the Olam HaSoel Yainim. Is the most yukna is Chakuka on the Kisei HaKovet. And there, Lairo Omal B'Yakov, Lairo Omal B'Yakov, Lairo Omal B'Yisroel, Hashem Elakov V'may, Osru Asmel Achboi, we're friends, couldn't be closer. And nothing is going to get in the way of that friendship. Because where that friendship is taking place, that is the real Yaakov, that is the real Klal Yisroel, and that is Mistam, how do I know? But it probably is indicated by the fact that Musti Yuknoi is Chokuk on the Kisei HaKovet. Yeah? What happens down here? No, yeah, people do Chataim. And there has to be a din, and there has to be a cheshbon. And it's part of the Bollock story. In other words, you need ki'ilu. What was my question? Why bring the chatoim at the end of Pinchas, at the end of Bollock? Why put them into Bollock? Why not shift the whole Pinchas story, including the chatoim, into Pinchas? I think that you needed the chatoim which took place and which were found their place in Bollock. You needed that as a rashi on the bracha which Bilam had said. Yeah? Bilam had said, Lohibit oven b'yako l'ro omal b'Yisrael. So you don't finish that sugya without pointing out that doesn't mean if they do averus down here in this world, that there's going to be punishment. Yeah, of course that there has to be din and there has to be everything. Kol HaTorah Kulo, we've learned. Yeah, and we know that there's Sran, we know that there's Einish. Yeah, so what did Bilam say? Yeah, okay, later on it's changed back, but that was what they did the Avera, but he said it, and that was the Nevuah. Lohi b'dovan b'Yaakov. Teretz is, you have to mechalik between Yaakov in the Olam Ho'elyon and the Yaakov down here. I hope that, I don't know how clear I can make what I'm thinking, because I don't know myself what I'm thinking. I don't know exactly what all this means. But at least I hope that what I've been saying since the beginning of this year, that makes sense to somebody, and you can either agree or disagree. Take it further or leave it here, I don't know. But what I really wanted, and I'm not going to do half of what I had prepared for this year, because there's not going to be time, but I want to get back to Bolak, because in the brochas which he said, he repeats one phrase twice. Yeah, El motziom mitzrayim keso afos re'em lo. That's the phrase. El motziom mitzrayim keso afos re'em lo. And what I want to do is to stel sich on how do you translate keso afos Re'em lo. What are so afos re'em? What does it mean? And it's a very, very difficult passage, and I really prepared a lot for it. You should see where I'm sitting over here. I'm surrounded by Sforim, but it's already 21 minutes that she has been going, so there isn't really so much time left. But I just want to share with you the surface of what I learned over here, what is going on? Very, very, very interesting. Very interesting. There's a Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara in the Dorim talks about aspects of the way the Torah is written. And it's kedai just to spend a minute or two to see what it says there. Here, I have to dig out my Gemara from the other Sforim which are lying here. So, here, Nedorim, Lamed Zayin, Omed Beis. So, Rav Yitzchak. Omer Rav Yitzchak, Mikro Seifrem, Ve'ito Seifrem, Ukriyen V'loi Ksiven, Ksiven V'loi Kriyen, Halocha L'mashem Sinai. That the way the Torah is written and the way the Torah is read is often different. And where it is different, it's a halacha l'mashe m'Sinai. Now, what are each one of these things? So, Rashi says like this. Here, let me find it. Oh, so the Gemara says, what are these various things? So the Gemara says like this. Mikro Seifrem Eretz. So Rashi says, what would be called Mikro Seifrem? That sometimes Eretz is pronounced with the Segal Eretz, and sometimes where there's an Esnachta, Oretz. That's called Mikro Seifrem. Yeah? Then, Shomayim Mitzrayim is also called Mikro Seifrem. Now, what is that? What does it mean, Shomayim and Mitzrayim? Sog daran, Shomayim Mitzrayim, Sha'af al pi she'ein bohem aleph, nikroim ki ilu hoysa bohem. Although Mitzrayim after the resh and Shomayim after the mem, there is no aleph, and really the aleph belongs there, but the itur seifrem, to make it nicer, to make it more pleasant, whatever the pshat is in this Gemara, the aleph was taken out. What do you mean there should have been an aleph in Shomayim? Why should there be an Aleph in Shomayim? Why should there be an Aleph in Mitzrayim? What's going on over here? So the pshat, I think, is that you have to remember that the symbols that we have for the Nekudas, the vowel sounds, so we have special vowel sounds, and O looks like this, and A looks like this, and U looks like that. So they only came much later. So in the time of the Gemara, there were no symbols for the Nekudas. So the question was, how would you know how to pronounce a word? Yeah, let's take Mitzrayim or Shomayim. Yeah, who says it's Shomayim? Maybe it's Shemayim. Maybe it's Shemuim. Yeah, so how do we know? There aren't any dots and nekudas. So how are you going to know what it is? So the fact is that the system was to put in letters. In other words, the Aleph stood for the O-R sounds. So really, one would have had to write Shomayim, Shin, Mem, Aleph, Yud, Mem, in order to know that the Nakuda under the Mem is an A or an O, depending. So many of these words really needed an Aleph. They really needed an Aleph in order to indicate the vowel sound. But then the Chachomim came along and made an Itur Sofrim. Itur, as she says, is an ornament, right? A crown to make it nice, to make it pleasant, to make it easier to read and so on, right? Everybody knows that Shomayim is Shomayim and Mitzrayim is Mitzrayim. So leave out the Aleph. That's what it's doing over here. Now, that's something that we need very, very much over here in our posuk. What does it say? Kel Moitziyam Mitzrayim, Keso Afos Re'em Lo. Keso Afos Re'em Lo. Now, what does it mean, Keso Afos Re'em Lo? So, what does Rashi say? So, Rashi says like this. Keso Afos Re'em Lo, Ketokev Rum V'goiva Shaloi. Ketokev, Tokev is strength, son of Tokev, Kedusha Sayyam, strength and height. Kesoafos re'em lo. Now, what does it got to do with strength? What does Toafos got to do with strength? And what does re'em got to do with height? Re'em is a buffalo or something like that. So, what exactly is going on over here? So here I've got to be Makatza, although it's very, very, very interesting. But I just want to be Makatza, and then we'll call it a day as far as this year is concerned. The first of all, Toafos. Now, Toafos, the root is Ayin Fehe and Ofo, which means to fly. So the Foshim say that flight can be a moshel, let's say, for strength, for power. Why? Because I don't think I've ever thought about that before I got into the sugya. I don't know whether any of you have. Have you ever seen a bird fly in the sky? We're especially lucky here in Israel. We have these formations of geese flying over the campus all the time. It's very, very, very nice to see them. After Gavanisham made a beautiful world for us. Anyway, so an oif is really having an enormous struggle with gravity. I mean, since when do things fly in the air? Yeah, the Vanisham created gravity and things fall down to the earth. That's how things work. So what's with these birds? So it's not such a rochakdik thing to see the flight. Afifus, that's called, the flight of the birds as a demonstration of enormous power. It's a demonstration of enormous power. Why? Because the bird is able to fight the enormously strong power of gravity. Now, I don't know astronomy and I don't know anything, but I understand that what keeps the planets and all the other things in their orbits is gravity, because look, I don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you may know what I'm talking about. But the things are kept in the orbit because of the power of gravity which they exert on each other, and somehow everything stays the way it's supposed to be. So therefore, soafos can mean power, strength. Now, re'em, yeah? Now, re'em is an animal. So what does it mean? That Kesoifos Re'em Loi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the strength of a buffalo. That's a crazy thing to say. How can you say that? So I checked it out, and the you see the Targum, what does the Targum say? Kesoifos Re'em Loi. Here, let me find it quickly. Tukfo v'rumo delay. Tukfo strength, v'rumo and height. Yeah, tukfo v'rumo delay. Now, what does a re'em got to do with a buffalo got to do with height? So I just want to read to you from the Nefesh Ager. Nefesh Ager, a very important sefer on the Targum. So let me read to you what he writes over here. El matzim mitzrayim kesorafos re'em lo, elohod afkinu mitzrayim tukfo v'rumo delay. Power and height are his. So he says, lo nochon lehatagum kipshutai, lehashvas chas v'sholom koyach haboiro lehanivro. The Bnei Shem is as strong as a buffalo. What kind of nonsense is that? Asher hu efes v'soyu. Right? Ki dam afilu malachem malo v'chol ho'elomos ka'ayen negdo yizborach shemayim. So pirash hatagum shehu rak melitza because of re'em loshen chosek v'rum. In other words, re'em, really, the Targum is telling us, means rum, height. What's the Aleph doing there? That's why we learned the Gemara in the Dorim. We learned the Gemara in the Dorim because we see that really, rum, ought to have an Aleph over there in order to indicate the pronunciation, right? Rom, Rom al kol goyim Hashem, said it needed an Aleph. So the Targum says, Tikkun Soifrem took away all the Alephs. Now the fact is, and that's what took me a long time to prepare to find all the places, there are places scattered throughout Tanakh where the Aleph is maintained. If I can find them, I'll try to find them for you. It's in Zechariah 14:10. So what does it say? One second. Oh, here we go. I'll just look at it quickly. Here, Zechariah 14:10. Oh, Yisrael kol ha'oretz ko arovor migeva l'rimon. The whole land is going to be flat and nice and beautiful all the way from Geva to Rimon, Negev Yerushalayim, to the south of Yerushalayim, v'ro amor v'yoshvo tachteo, and it will be high, and it will dwell in this place. Ro amor, with an aleph. Yeah, what the word is supposed to mean is height. Rom. Yeah, here it's written ro amor. Why was the aleph maintained over here? Doesn't say. But this is our friend the Aleph, which we know was there from the Gemara in the Dorim, and somehow the Tikkun Soifrem did not take that Aleph away. And there's another one. I have it all here, if I can find it. Oh, in Daniel. Here we are. There it's got it by here. Ant Malko. That's a very interesting thing. Ant Malko. He's talking to the king. Jose Haveso, you had this vision. Va'alut Selem Chad, Sagi, and a huge statue came up in your mind. Tzalmo Dikain, Rav V'zive Yatir Koem Lekovlo. And the huge thing, which shone like a light, whatever it is, got up opposite you. Koem, not Kom, but Koem. The Aleph. So the Aleph remains there. So you have the Aleph in Kum and you have the Aleph in Rum, and that's it. Now, if you ask me why over here did the Itter Seifrim not, wasn't it, why didn't it happen? So I think that because there's a big chiddush, but I don't want to go into that because I don't know whether I'm right. But I think that in both cases, it's telling us something very unexpected. In other words, it's to stress. The emes is that it's an itur, it's a niceness to take out the aleph, because the word, it's simpler, it's easier, it's not such a problem. So the itur seifrim came along and took it out. But sometimes it paid to keep it in, to underline the chiddush of it. For example, over here, this statue which the king was to see, yeah, rose up in front of him, because the Novi goes on over there, and then this whole huge Novi, bit by bit, was smashed and smashed and smashed. Nothing remained of it. It was a moshel of the Goyim. So in order to stress what a great, big, strong statue that was, it kept the Aleph in. And the Re'em is the same thing. Yeah, that is the Rom, the height. What does the Taka mean? And that's where I'm going to finish this year. But what does the Taka mean? So what it means is that that's what the Targum says. Kso'afos re'em lo. So'afos is the strength, tokfe. And re'em is rume, like the what do you call it? The Nefesh HaGer says that it's a militza. In other words, when it says Kesoifos Re'em, it doesn't mean a buffalo. But Re'em was used as height, because a buffalo is very big. So Bimele, when they wanted to say, this guy is really high, or this thing is very high, they say, wow, that's a Re'em. Not the pshat is that he means it's a buffalo, but it means that it's what the property which is most striking from the buffalo, namely how big it is, that's how it is. Wow, it's very, very big. So So'afos Re'em is exactly what the Targum says, namely the strength and the height. Both strength and height are involved. Now, what does that mean? And that's where I'm going to finish now. Yeah? So what does that mean, that both strength and height are involved? Why is it involved? The Targum is, I'm talking about the height part, that is what I said before. Height means what's taking place in Shemayim is the important thing. Yaakov says, all my days were used 100%. I had 130 years full of days. Not one of them is missing. But that's not down here. Down here, the Ribbono Shel Olam hates Averas and does note the Averas and so on and so forth. Like we said, Nebuch, the people were killed, the 24,000 people. Maybe not Nebuch, I don't know, I'm not voicing an opinion, right? But they were killed, right? So what's he saying? The Teretz is, Avada Gevis, down here, there has to be Din and Mishpat, there have to be all these things together with Av and Racham and Abel. It has to be, yeah. It can't be a Hefkevelt. But where Klal Yisrael really is, there, Lo Hibidov and Yaakov, Lo Yoram of Yisrael, where the Diuknai of Yaakov is Chokuk in the Kisei HaKovod. So they're the real Yaakov functions. They're the real, and that is what Yetzias Mitzrayim was and is, and that is really a very big hachona for Sefer Shemayis, that Yaakov won the argument. And I think that, like Yaakov, if you could say such a thing, all right, that's probably not supposed to say, but all right, yeah. He ended up by giving Paro a brocha. What do you have to give another brocha for? He gave the brocha when he came in. So this one is probably a real brocha. The Teretz is, he's saying to Paro, you know, Paro, you're a lucky guy. I'm going to give you a brocha. Right? And what's the brocha of a guy who's stretching out his hand for favors? I'm a failure. I got news for you. I'm not a failure. And if I give you a brocha, it's a pretty good brocha. Be happy with that brocha, yeah? Because I'm very, very different to you, and I won this argument, yeah? When you come along and say, how many days can you show for your life? The answer is, there's not a single day that I can't show. And because I am who I really am, Therefore, you'd better be grateful for the bracha which I'm now giving you.